God, help us hear your voice and know the joy of your calling for our lives. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen.
Amen.
So a few sermons ago, for those who were here, I told you all about my band in college, the 80s metal cover band called the Danger Rangers, which was a hoot, and you should be laughing. It's very funny. What I didn't go into detail about is what my role in the band was. See, I have absolutely, absolutely no musical talent. I can't sing, I can't clap in time, I have no music whatsoever. But of course, I wanted to be in a band anyway. So I created a position where I was the front man, but not the lead singer, which meant I sang into a fake microphone. Sometimes it was like an espresso cup that I'd take from the house. It looked close enough to an Elvis mic that it worked. Sometimes it was just a microphone not plugged into anything. And I was up front pretending to sing. I was actually singing full volume, just thankfully no one could hear me. But my main role as the front man was that I spit fire. Literally spit fire. I would use a flammable liquid and a blowtorch, and I would blow this giant plume of fire, which to me in college seemed like the best idea ever. I taught myself how to do it on stage. I almost burnt down a couple of bars where we were playing, and eventually I got really good at it. It was sort of my talent, my shtick, that thing that I could pull out as a party trick whenever I needed to. So the band, we toured a little bit around the Mid-Atlantic. Toured is a bit of an exaggeration. I just like to say that because it makes me feel better about it. We played the fraternity and bar scene through Virginia. So there was this show that we played at UVA one year. And this was the first time any of my cousins had been able to make it out to a show. They'd all seen pictures. They'd all laughed about it. But they got to come, about five or six of them who were all at school there at the same time, got to come and see the show, and they loved it. They thought it was a blast. I taught them all how to spit fire afterwards, and it was great. So basically, everyone I knew that fire spitting was my thing, except for my mother. So we were down at the beach that summer, and all of the extended family was there. There was a week that we were all there together. And we were sitting around the dinner table, and of course, the conversation of the Danger Rangers gets raised. And my mom was already embarrassed enough by the band, but once she found out through this conversation that I spit fire, her eyes got super wide. Her face got white. She wanted to say, I'm sure, many things to me, but instead she got up, left the room, and shut the door to her bedroom, and came out about an hour later. A prophet is respected everywhere except his hometown. Am I right? One of the neat things, we're going to tie that back in here in a minute, you'll see. One of the really neat things about my job as the director of youth ministries is that I get to see the youth of St. Mary's Church in an angle, or from an angle, that most people don't get to see them often, but their parents definitely don't get to see them. Let me explain. The last 2 weeks, or actually before this week, the last 2 weeks, I'd done two missions trips, one with rising ninth graders to New York and one with high school students to California. I think that the only participant here this morning is Jack Deutsch, who's sitting back there and waving. Everyone else, I think, is working this morning. But when you go on these mission trips, you get these students in a position which they're not usually in. And I like to text the parents sometimes just to let them know how impressive their kid is being on the trip, to let them know how hard they're working, how much they're smiling, how much of a joy they are to be around. And invariably, the response that I get from the parents starts with thank you. Thank you so much for sharing that. And then the next sentence is, we don't really see that side of him or her at home. So it's wonderful to hear that at least somewhere they're doing good. But that's how it is with family. That's how it is in the gospel reading. We see it happen with Jesus. Those that know us well know our good sides, but they also know all of our flaws and all of our weaknesses and see us at all of our low points. They see us make the worst decisions that we can. And like everybody, if you live close enough to somebody, you judge them the same way you judge anybody. We judge ourselves by our best intentions, and we judge others by their worst results. We might still love those who are close to us, but there's this lack of understanding of them beyond the context in which we know them. And that's particularly true for teenagers, because when they're at home, they're still viewed as kids. That's how their parents see them. I don't have kids yet. I will have one very soon. I've got about a month to go now. But I do have a younger brother who's about 6 years younger than I am. And I realized sort of what this felt like, this condition, this understanding of what a younger person is like when I was watching my brother give a speech at his high school graduation. He was always my little brother. He was always the one who would try to make an argument and he would invariably lose because we knew more about what he was talking about than he did. And we were raised by lawyers, so there was a lot of arguing that happened. He was the one that we would make fun of. He was the one we called Mikey. His name was Michael. And he sat us down one day and told us that we were no longer allowed to call him Mikey, which we, of course, laughed at and proceeded to up the ante a little bit. But all of a sudden, at his high school graduation, he stands up and he gives a commencement speech, and it was mind-blowingly good, at least for me, because I had no idea that he had so much more than I'd discovered. He had so much to say that was worth hearing. So the great thing about high school mission trips and middle school trips, there's a bunch of great things, but the best part is seeing what these kids are like when they step into mission, when they step away from their family and from the usual patterns that they have and get to serve and get to be with one another and learn how to love others, love themselves, and love the world around them. And you get to watch that happen. You get to watch them get rid of self-interest and work as hard as they possibly can in a food pantry or painting a house for Habitat for Humanity. And you get to see the light of Christ bursting forth from out of them. And without exception, every one of the students who went on this trip revealed that light of Christ in that way. And it blessed me, it blessed the other chaperones, it blessed everyone we encountered so much. And so the point of this sermon, for the parents who are here, for the parents who are listening, for anyone who sees any of their parents, is for them to know just how amazing their kids did on these trips. Because for them, it's hard to see. For them, it's still the child that they have to discipline. But in reality, it's a growing young person turning into an adult, learning to walk the mission of Christ. What a pleasure it is to be able to help lead that, and what a blessing it is to have a church that's willing to send these students out to do work and to do joyful things. In California, we did food pantries, we did house painting with Habitat for Humanity, and we got to be together driving up the coast of California, walking through mere woods together, taking in the majesty of God in creation. My favorite part, other than the spiritual aspects of the kids' growth and the bit of Christ that they showed, was Muir Woods. Has anyone been to Muir Woods before? We've got a few hands up. Muir Woods is a national park just north of San Francisco, named after the great naturalist John Muir. I had never been before, and it is astounding. Just the majesty of it was mind-blowing. I had to sit down on one of the wooden benches that was there, and it looked a lot like a church pew, which felt very appropriate to me because I needed to sit and worship God in the glory of this place. These trees that were thousands of years old, looking at the death and rebirth that happens all through the ecosystem in the forest. And it was staggering. I didn't have words at first for it, and I began just writing thoughts that I still haven't finished processing. But there was a thought that was expressed later that evening by Harrison Holmes. We made the group split up into teams each night and do a presentation on what we had learned that day. The winner would get free Starbucks the next morning. And each night, there was one team that took it very seriously and one team that took it less seriously. This last night, it was the boys who took it very seriously. And Harrison Holmes said one of the more profound things I've ever heard, something that'll stick with me for a long time. You see, the way that the trees grow, the redwoods grow, is that the seeds drop very close to the base of the tree, and they grow up together in these family units. It almost looks like one trunk for a lot of these trees because they end up growing together. So you get these really tight packs of 4, 5, 6, 7 trees that grow to the sky. And it's fascinating to see because I've never seen it before. And it looks so different than what I'm used to. But while we were talking about it that night during the presentation, Harrison pointed out the trees and tied it back into his experience with church and the church community. And his summary was this. I think back to all of the years my mom has dragged me out of bed and forced me to come to church on Sunday morning. And I think about all the times I've complained about it and all the times I know I'm going to keep complaining about it. But I see what she's doing. She's building a family condition like those trees that get to grow up towards heaven together. Isn't that profound? From a 16-year-old. But that is the point of all of it. That's the point of worship. That's the point of mission. It's the point here of Jesus sending the disciples out two by two. It's the point of all of us being gathered here. It's not just our immediate family. We get to come together and sink our roots into the soil of God. And together, not alone, but together, we get to grow towards heaven and slowly, piece by piece, discover more and more and more about what that means, what the glory of God in Christ is.